I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional coach, making sure that your life is nothing less than spectacular. I have on the show today Chris March. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Jody. How are we doing today?
It's going well. Thank you. I'm excited for this discussion. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Chris. Chris March is a world-class executive coach, former COO, and leadership strategist. He helps senior leaders and high-potential managers sharpen their clarity, influence, and executive presence, delivering measurable business results while leading with confidence. With leadership experience across Australia, the UK, and Canada, and clients spanning multiple continents, Chris brings a rare global perspective and cultural fluency to today's fast-changing, AI-driven workplace. He's also an advisor to 7- and 8-figure businessmen in Australia, helping founders and executives scale profitably while living more purposeful lives. Chris blends practical frameworks with neuroscience-backed tools, making complex leadership challenges simple, actionable, and human. Wow, Chris. I love reading this because, you know, to be a coach or to work with anybody, even if it's a colleague, in relationships, you really need to have clarity on quite a bit of different things that are going on with them and knowledge that will help them. And it's great to see that you have that. Have you always been kind of a seeker of many different modalities in helping people?
Great question, and thanks again for having me on, Jody. I think it's the core of it comes from wanting to help people. At the end of the day, I think it's the core belief. And the modalities came from just being curious. And I think we live in a world where there's so much information being shared. And me, I've always continually been curious about learning and growing as a person. And that naturally evolves into adding more tools to the toolkit. And then being through that, that's a byproduct of being able to help bring a different perspective to meet people where they're at in their own journey, right? And I think that's the important part is you can have all the skills in the world, but it's important to meet people where they're at and understand their perspective before you're giving advice or guiding people from your own lens.
Right. Yeah, that is great. I love the curiosity factor because that just leads you into more depth about yourself and more background that you can really help with challenges. I mean, that is great. So Chris, what tool for yourself and your own personal development do you find is really useful? And again, everybody has their tool that they love that they really find effective for them. What about you?
I think one of the ever-evolving skills is communication. It's something I don't think you can really perfect, right? I think communication is an everyday tool we use. We're using it now. We use it with your partner. You use it in business. And it's a constantly evolving tool and skill that you can upgrade. And naturally, when you think about communication, you think about the verbal aspect. I'm also talking about the other end of it when you're focusing on listening. I think listening is one of the most underappreciated skills that is in your toolkit as well, because as human beings, to your point earlier, we're complex individuals. And naturally, we are wired to be connected socially. And to validate that, we want to be heard. Not just listen, we want to be heard and validated for our feelings and what we're going through, the challenges. So I think that is an ever-evolving skill that I'm really focused on, the verbal aspect, but also really focused on the listening part of it as well, because I think it's just such a vital tool to have, not only in business, but in life.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to add one more aspect, and that's the nonverbal, the body language. When you're listening to someone, are you turned away, or are you thinking of something else? Because people can read it. They're looking at your eyes. Your eyes are not on them. So I really like communication because it is challenging. And how do you communicate with somebody who doesn't like to communicate or finds it hard to find the right words or maybe conflict avoidant?
To your first part around nonverbal, I think there's a stat that states it's around 60% of communication is verbal. So that's a huge indicator. You can read someone automatically just based on their nonverbal communication via their actions, via their crossing your arms. That tells you. So to answer your second part to that around people who are avoidant, I think it just starts again with the curiosity and understanding exactly trying to listen to people first. If people are not confident, it means they ne may not trust you to be someone that they can open up to. So you really need to try and understand them and build some level of rapport with them quickly, depending on the scenario that you're in. If this is someone you have an interaction with or someone who's part of your greater team, let's use a professional environment scenario, then you just want to try and break them down and just listen and just be human. Tell me what's going on, Jody. What's happening in your world right now? Why are we having this conversation right now? And then just get them to really open up, right? I think it's really just get them to drop their guard a little bit and then naturally spend that time to build. And I think naturally over time you'll get something out of them. It may just be a little piece, but I think you can then build on that and have a separate conversation as a follow-up. So I'd start there. I would start there.
I like that you mentioned the trust factor because many people don't like to be vulnerable. I mean, they're hiring you as a coach to help them reach goals, whether it's personal, business, and it's hard to admit that I couldn't do it on my own. I've tried, something's getting in the way, something's blocked. And now I have to tell you that, Chris.
That process, to your point, is not easy, and that's a big part of coaching, as you know, Jody, and anyone who's worked with a coach or as a coach will resonate with, is you have to peel back the layers metaphorically, right? And you can spend a lot of time in that discovery as part of working with a coach, just getting to know people and just really try to understand and what their obstacles, what's getting in the way. Is it themselves? Is it someone else? What exactly is that? So it really just taking the time, get to know someone and understanding what are their obstacles in their mind in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I really resonate with that is to really open it up and allow spaciousness so they can take whatever time they need to move to that deeper level and then tell you about it, then move to the next level and then tell you about it. And it really sounds like you have that skill of opening up that space so they can do that. And I'm also going to say that you're in Australia now. I think it's where you're born. Something about the Australian accent, equals friendliness. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but you instantly, you instantly feel like you are a friend. So it's great. It's really a great thing to have on in your box of tools, whether they know it or not, your clients know it or not.
Yes, I have heard that before. Maybe because it's exotic in some way, shape, or form, depending on which part of the world that you're from. But I think it just giving it really centers around giving people the space to be heard and allowing that space. And that's a skill that takes a lot of time to continually work on as a craft, as a coach. And I think it's something that I'm continually working on. Because we are wired to give advice. Our natural human instinct is always to be giving advice. And as a coach, you need to really work on pulling that back and giving people the space to be heard first before you help guide them to where they need to be.
Yeah, but I think all of us, and male and female, we want to fix that person. We want them to feel better. We want them to be happy. I don't know if that's a human trait or it's just a coaching trait, but it really does take stepping back and allow the stories to come out. And you know what that client likes about those stories or what they don't like about those stories, or you know the big one, are the stories true? Because it's something they may have told themselves for years, and they may not have any honesty or anything. They just heard it from somebody else.
Yeah, it's true, and that's the story you tell yourself. Your mind can be your biggest weapon and also asset in a lot of different ways, and that's why having the right mindset is everything.
Yes, I agree. And figuring out what's going on in your mind, is it positive? Is it helping you? Is it, again, I ask myself, is it true? And how do I know it's true? Have I seen facts and figures based on this? Did I hear somebody say exactly that? Or am I, as we were talking about earlier, am I picking up some cues that aren't being said, and I think it means X, where maybe it doesn't mean that at all.
I think you raise a great point there with challenging assumptions because we live in an information-rich time, in a sense, as
And
we
Chris,
see
can
this
you move
moment.
closer to the mic? I'm getting a little garbled. Yeah.
So I was just saying the point around challenging assumptions. I think that's such a great point is we can be our own worst echo chamber in a lot of different ways, and there's so much information that's being presented to us on a daily than ever before, right? So you can find everything to either challenge or support your assumptions. So it's really important for you if you're doing the work yourself or with someone else is how do you validate that assumption?
Yeah, and how, what have you seen in your own coaching experience where somebody had that big aha moment of, wow, I have been believing this assumption for years, and again, the big aha moment is I don't think that's true.
Think there's so many aha moments that you can reach, and I think they all gradually work towards one bigger insights. And I think it comes down to the belief system that we have, our operating system in a lot of different ways. The stories we tell ourselves, right, become our beliefs and our values. And I think it's a lot of it is around unwiring that and first getting your client or the person you're working with to acknowledge that is not the path that they no longer want to go to help them get from A to B. So I've seen many different aha moments around protecting people's time, giving themselves better boundaries, right? Because if you don't set the boundary yourself, no one else will. So making sure that you're valuing the family time, doing things for yourself in a lot of different ways, I think is is one of the things that I see come up a lot when people are busy doing a lot of different things, having those aha moments to make sure that they're making time for the other things outside of work that are valuable.
Yeah, and that is important to support themselves. I mean, it's just not working. It's what do you enjoy, and you know what gives you strength, and what allows you to be passionate about your life and your work. So, Chris, let's say a client of yours has the aha moment, and you know you're both celebrating, doing the happy dance. And how do you get that person to sustain and maybe synthesize that into their own life so it really does carry them through and they just don't go back and forth on that thought or that behavior?
Yes, it's a great question because it's great to celebrate the wins, but the real work happens outside of the coaching sessions typically. So you want to ask, how will they embed those habits to make sure, to your point, that it's sustained? And typically it takes around 21 to 25 days to embed those habits. So what will the client be accountable to ensure that that is followed through with? So it can be a partner, it can be a certain action, it can be a certain check-in mechanism that you used. Those are the mechanisms that you can use as part of embedding those habits to ensure that they're following through. And then depending on the cadence of your engagement, you can then check in your follow-up session and then your next one as well to ensure that they're following through. And naturally that accountability is a huge piece, and that's what a lot of people enjoy around the coaching process is the accountability piece. And for you as a coach, I know personally for me, I really make it a point to build, foster relationships with my clients, and I'm all in on clients, and I want to support them to win. So I'll check in with them just to make sure that they're following through outside of sessions on everything that they commit to as well, to keep them on track, because life gets busy. You get busy. So ensuring that you have that extra level of layer of accountability helps. And then if you just repeat that process, consistency yields results over time. So simplicity, just with the right mechanisms to make sure that it follows through.
That's nice of you to. It sounds like you offer quite a bit of your time to your clients, and I bet they're really appreciative because we all need support. We all need to have somebody to say, you know, it's not going well, or hey, thanks for checking in. It is going well, and that's really great. What happens, or how do you motivate somebody who's excited about maybe breaking a pattern or starting up a new pattern? Let's say they need to go to the gym, they want to get healthy, so everything else in their life is working well, their mindset is better, their body is better, everything is better because of that, but they just won't do it. What do you do when they're lagging or not starting something?
Each person is different, right? So every person has a different motivation for doing things. Let's say, for example, they're doing it to live a healthier life for their children or their family or their partner, or they're doing it for their own mental health, or they want to lose weight. Let's say it's a personal goal, or to enter, let's say, a fitness, they want to run a half marathon. Typically, you need to understand what it is that the goal that they're working towards. And then I would identify where we're breaking down and identify one small step that we can do to make sure that these things happen. So let's say they want to go to the gym, but they're just not following through with it. I would then be asking, okay, so what's getting in the way? We plan to go on Tuesday. Talk me through what happened the previous night. So Monday night, we talked about going to the gym. Tuesday, what happened between Monday and Tuesday that prevented you from getting there? And then we'd go through all the different types of scenarios. And then we say on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, let's say, for example, the following morning, what needs to be different to make that happen in your world? What needs to be different? And we'd uncover that. And it could be just something as simple as wearing your gym clothes to bed the night before, or having the gym clothes next to your bed, or getting your partner to go to the gym with you, or a certain alarm or a certain reward that you'd give yourself. If you went to the gym that day, then you would be able to have you buy yourself a coffee or whatever that incentive, the intrinsic reward that you would work towards with that client. But it's about understanding what are the blockers and then helping remove them to make sure that you follow through with the commitment.
That's great, and I love you have a number of solutions. And I also like the fact that you want to be stepped through moment by moment or hour by hour. Let's see what happened 12 hours before the event took place. So you both can really pinpoint what's going on. I mean, sometimes clients don't know when they're self-sabotaging. They say, "Oh, I've gotta take this important call, and there goes my gym time. I've only got 20 minutes at the gym, so I can't do it." So it's great that you really take the time to understand what got in the way, so you can apply that appropriate solution. Maybe turn off your phone half an hour before going to the gym so they get to the gym and can handle a crisis afterwards.
Exactly. And to your point, you can take it a step further and calendarize. If you have extremely busy, different executives that I work with is making sure that you're blocking time within your calendar to make sure those priorities happen. Whatever those priorities may be, is living the life by design, not being reactive to everything, right? Is having waking up, knowing exactly what you're going to do to have that structure to complete the tasks that you need to do, depending on your discipline as an executive or a family person, whatever it is in your life.
Exact great idea. Block it off if you want it to happen, and you live by your calendar, block it off. So tell me, as a coach, what are the challenges with working with busy executives?
There's many, right? I think every person has their own blind spots and things that they don't see, and that's the value of coaching to ensure that we're working on those blind spots. Some executives that I work with are very self-aware, and they tell you these are the three things that I want to be working on. It's communication, my presentation skills, my executive presence. It's my whole life is just I don't. I'm, everything's reactive. I hear that a lot around calendarizing. I just don't have, there's not enough time in the day. How do we work with that? AI is coming up a lot as well now as well. How do we deal with that? Do I keep ignoring it? How do I implement it? Where do I start? So it really varies depending on client, again, about meeting people where they're at and then facing their biggest challenge and then focusing on as we work together, depending on the engagement period, what are the main focuses we want to work towards? Is it a 90-day sprint, 30-day sprint, quarterly sprint? What exactly do we want to focus on, and then and work a plan back from there?
That's great. And I know you work with, according to your literature, SMART, which is a system that really helps people stay on track, define what they're doing, define end dates, design resources, a whole variety of things. And it's very clear and logical. And when somebody feels they don't have enough time in a day to get everything done, you can really lay it out with that SMART system. So good on you for having that system. Somebody can just very clearly see in the results they're getting in whatever time frame.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, I've been in that role myself. I've worked in many different senior leader roles and
Yeah, come
understand
on.
the pain points. Understand the pain points that a lot of my clients have been through. So, in a lot of ways, I'm building systems that would allow me to be more efficient to my former self.
Great. And it's interesting that you have the global aspect as a coach, all right? You worked in the UK, you worked in the US and Canada and Australia. What are the benefits of that when working with executives?
It just gives me a very unique lens of the world. I think culturally, there's of course differences between the UK, Canada, the US, and Australia. However, we're still dealing with humans at the end of the day, and the needs are very, very, very similar. It just gives me a better understanding of the challenges that people face in different industries. I work with clients from different industries and different landscapes as well. So it just helps for me to understand the lens that everyone's coming to, and the challenges in the US are different from Canada, and then the differences in Europe are also different from Australia, but they're also similar in a lot of different ways. So it just gives me that relative understanding of what they're going through and how can I help them achieve their ultimate goals.
Great. Now, I know you've worked in all these places, and now you're in Australia. Are you gonna travel anywhere else and work to get yet another continent under your belt?
Yes, so I've been very fortunate to travel a lot. I've traveled to over 80 countries. I worked in the travel industry for 17 and a half years, and the perks and benefits of working in the travel industry is that you get to travel a lot and we go to great conferences and meetings in different countries. So travel is a big part of my DNA and has built the person that I am today. And I wouldn't be the person if I didn't start traveling from a young age and then shifted and moved all around the world and fortunate to live in all these great places. But now I'm Canadian Australian. I spent 16 years in Canada. I hold a Canadian passport as well as Australia. So a big part of my life is in Canada. I may end up there in a couple of years. We shall see. In a perfect world, 6 months in Canada, 6 months in Australia. So who knows what the future holds.
And I think you'll be in Australia in the warmer months, or that
Correct.
means the winter months in, well, actually it's a flip, but you'll choose to step away from the Canadian winters, right?
Correct. Yeah, summer in each country would be the ultimate
Summer
goal.
all year round. Okay, I want your
Exactly.
life, Chris. We're gonna exchange lives here.
I'm
So,
working on it.
so at the top of your bucket list with travel, because you are a big travel guy, where do you want to go?
It's a great question, and it's hard to give one answer. Being at this part of the world, at this end, India is high on my list. I've never been to India
Goodness.
before.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would say India. I would also love to see more of Asia. Malaysia is definitely high up there. So I'd say those two for now. I'd love ultimately to go to Antarctica. I haven't been to Antarctica, and I'd like to do a little bit more South America, Argentina, and Brazil probably come to mind. So let's say those would be my top five for now.
Great. Well, again, stepping on different continents and to add to the notches in your travel belt. So this upcoming year for you, Chris, 2026, any new plans in your coaching practice? Anything that you want to implement? Something new that you want to try out?
It's 2026. We're less than, I think, 60 days away now from
Oh,
Christmas or the
goodness.
new year. Yeah, sorry to bring that up, everyone. We're
Yeah,
getting
right. You got
close.
60 days to get everything done in 2025. Yeah.
Yeah, first Halloween, then Christmas, then the new year.
Exactly.
2026, yes, I'm excited about 2026. I feel as I'm getting older and wiser, I'm enjoying slowing down, yet I'm also excited for what's ahead. I feel that I'm just really evolving and getting into my prime in a lot of different ways to use a sports reference. So I'm excited for the year ahead. The big focus for me is just about getting better as a leader, getting better as a coach, as a partner, as an uncle. I'm a proud uncle to
Wow.
five nieces. That's a big part of the
Oh,
reason why I'm out here in Australia.
congratulations. Five
Yeah.
nieces. Oh,
Yeah, it's a girls
I bet they
girls club.
love you. You're the
Yeah,
fun uncle I'm
I am.
thinking.
Yes, I am. So it's just fundamentally, it's about that, just getting better. I really want to focus a lot of my time and energy into getting a better understanding of AI. I think it's going to be a game changer. It already is a game changer, and I think there's going to be a huge market for implementation around business strategy. So I'm looking to level up in that space. And the companies that I'm working with are very AI driven, so very open to learning more there. And I'm just excited about what's ahead of me, because I think there's so much change and evolve with myself and also with everything that's happening in the world right now.
Great. Yeah, AI will be interesting. Nobody really knows how much of our life we depend on it. I mean, we're already dependent on simple things like ChatGPT for answering various questions and putting together, again, strategies and things like that. But I believe that it will get much more specific for each industry. Like the medical industry is already developing their own apps within that. So I agree with you. It will be a curious thing to dive into.
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge. Similar to when the internet first came on in the early 2000s, if everyone's old enough, I was old enough to remember that time. We were very standoffish when it came to the internet. But look at the world now. We wouldn't be having this conversation. People wouldn't be listening to this conversation in different parts of the world. It's been a game changer, and I truly feel we will get to that with AI over the next 5 to 10, 15, and so forth years.
Right, I agree. Chris, I'd like for you to tell the listeners if they want to have further conversations or if they want to get to know you better, how can they do that?
Two ways. Firstly, you can check me out at chrismarchcoaching.com. That's my website. Secondly, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions or anything that I can do to support you or your business or your organization. I post leadership insights around 2 to 3 times a week. It's just from my own personal experiences and things that I'm seeing in the landscape as well. So either through my website or through LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out.
And what is your name or your username in LinkedIn? Because your name is a very
It's
common name. Yeah.
yeah, yes. So it's you can my URL, which I can share with you, Jody, after this, or I may have shared it with you. It's LinkedIn / Christopher Arch, all one word.
Okay. Yeah, definitely want that. I think people would really benefit hearing what you have to say on a weekly basis or a 2 to 3 times a week, so they can definitely follow you. So I'll get that after we speak. Chris, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you, and I just really appreciate your time. It's been great.
Thank you, Jody. It's been a great conversation as well. Thank you so much again for having me.
Absolutely. All right, you have a great rest of your evening, I believe. And that'll be great. You take care.
Thanks, Jody. Chat soon.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people. Want more? Visit my website at yourspectacularlife.com.